Hey everyone, this is Discussions with Dre. This is episode 3. I'm here with Miazwe. How you doing, bro?
What up, what up, what up? I am doing great today. I cannot complain, really. Life's been great, so.
That's great, man. So, like, I'm just going to get right to it. You're all about your hustle. You're always tweeting about working. You're always tweeting about motivation. You're motivating people in the morning, calling people out. What do you do in your spare time, though? What do you do other than rap and work?
What do I do in my spare time? I like to read. I like to read a lot. Yeah, because I feel like just reading in general helps me see life from different perspectives of other people. Helps me learn things that I can add to my craft, just add to my life in general. And I'm always just trying to better myself, period, whether it's like music, health, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, I try to read a lot. What else do I really do? I like to, I go to church too. I attend Bible study and stuff too. Yeah, I'm like a religious dude as well. So I like to do that in my spare time. Just touch with my spiritual side, you know, get in touch with that.
Sorry, Rob, were you like, was your whole family, you were born Christian or is it Christian? Is it like, what is it?
Yeah. My family's Christian. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. I was born and raised. Yeah.
I kind of was the same. Like I kind of went to a Catholic school growing up too. And,
okay.
And I lit on fire as soon as I walked in. They just, they kind of pulled me out.
Like, yeah, this is a bad kid right
this
here.
This guy's fucked up. What is that CD? Yeah. Oh my God, is that Tupac?
Yeah, you know, but yeah, that's like, I really, yeah, I like to read, just like better myself. I like to hang out with my homies, talk about life. Yeah, yeah, I don't really do much outside of working and music and like trying to better myself. Though. Like, I feel like life is such a long marathon. It's like, I'm just always trying to get better. You know what I mean? Whatever I can to get better, surround myself around smarter people than me. I try to meet, you know, people who are doing good in their industries, you know, try to get what their mind's like. Cause I feel like even though I'm a rapper and all that, when it comes to like, just like hustling and grinding and all that stuff, I feel like when you do anything at like an intense level in any industry, you're able to relate to other people who do it just as hard in their industries and all that. So
100%, man. Yeah. It'd be surrounded like minded people at all times. It's like, it's uplifting and it kind of kick you in your ass to be like, oh, I'm not doing this hard enough. I'm not doing this good enough.
Yeah.
I need to work hard at that. Do you find, since you're so like self-aware and you're always working on yourself, do you find that you kind of just shit on yourself too much too? Do you find that as well? Like, I kind of do that.
Yeah, definitely. There's times where I'm definitely hard on myself. Yeah. Like sometimes I'll like accomplish stuff that's like even some of my biggest accomplishments when they initially happen, like, I was just like, okay, this is cool. But then I like, okay, what's next? I like move on to the next thing because I'm just like always wanting more. But I've learned to like really appreciate some things, cause especially because I now know, I realize like at the stage I'm at now, like I've gotten to do a lot of things that not a lot of artists will get to do like in their career, no matter how long they're doing this and 100%. All that. So yeah, I'm just grateful every day for you know, the life I've been blessed with, the way my career has gone so far. And yeah, I've tried to learn to be more appreciative. Cause I feel too, when you appreciate stuff more in the moment, you don't get so down on yourself and all that. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
So, 100%, yeah. Man. Like I find that too. It's like, I'm trying to do that. I think it's 2020 did that to me too. Like, I'm just kind of sitting back like, okay, I got to appreciate everything because we just got so much shit just taken away from us so fast.
Yeah. So quickly. Like, nobody could have seen this coming, you know?
No, exactly.
Kobe passing, like, all that.
That I've never felt so fucked up.
Yeah, that was the first celebrity death that legit, like, made me feel some type of way. Like,
yeah, like when Mac Miller died, I love Mac Miller. Like, I fucking love.
I love Mac too. Yeah,
I didn't like frat boy Mac. I liked fucking like drugs hippie Mac. I liked like when he was experimenting and doing crazy shit. But I loved him. And Nip, I didn't listen to a lot of his music. I listened to Victory Lap. I loved it, but I knew how important he was to hip hop, so it made me really sad.
Yeah,
like he was so important. But Kobe, when I woke up, my brother looked at me and he's like, Kobe Bryant just died in a helicopter accident. I was like, what do you, helicopter accident?
Right?
I'm like, what do you mean Kobe Bryant?
It doesn't even sound real.
Yeah, so I looked, and I was like, Kobe Bryant died in the fucking hell. I paced around the house. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, were you like a huge ball fan growing up? Was this like a?
Literally, that's actually where I learned like my work ethic from. I grew up playing ball, from when I was like 4 years old, 5 years old, till I was like probably 16, 17. And it was like through that, like I've been on teams that have been to like provincial finals and stuff too, all that. So it was like through that. That's where I even learned how to work so hard, you know, to get to like, you know, reach your goals, da da da, all that stuff too. So see, especially because like for our generation, we grew up with Kobe. Like we watched Kobe with the afro, Kobe number 8, 24 with the haircut, like the bald, like everything, you know. So.
And you wanted to like
it's just
almost
so surreal.
Exactly, man. Like I remember growing up and I loved Shaq. So when they had their breakup, I hated Kobe for a long time. I resented him.
Yeah, I loved Shaq too. Loved Shaq. I was a point guard, but I loved Shaq.
Believe it or not, man, I was a post. And like I fucking tried to body people, not like Shaq. I thought in my head I was. I never would be Shaq. I'm more like a Chris Humphries or some shit. but I'm sitting here like, you know, like I just wanted to be Shaq growing up, and I love Kobe and I love Vince Carter, and I, when those are my three guys growing up. And man, when Kobe died.
Oh yeah, Vince, yo, the Raptors, when he was on there, that was my team too as a kid. Oh, I used to watch Vince all the time.
Remember when he went to the Nets, how fucked up that was? When he went to the Nets with Jason.
Yeah, that was like, that was whack. That was whack. Yeah, I remember when that happened too, and I was like, man, this is weak.
But do you know what I loved? I did think it was weak at first, but like I have this like mentality of like, always like the villain. Like I always kind of liked the villain. Mm-hmm. So since you went to the Nets, I was like, yeah. What if you went to Toronto? Fuck them up. And I kind of liked that.
Yeah. You like that story? Like, you know, yeah. I feel you on that.
Or the booing. I just loved it, man. Like,
yeah. I was a big fan of that Raptors team. Like Antonio Davis, Junkyard Dog, Mo P. You know.
Yeah, Mo P was
dope,
man. Mo P could hit threes. Like, and Jalen Rose was on that team, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Jalen Rose too. Like, yeah, they had a lot of good players on that team back
Wasn't
then.
Bosch just coming in?
Really? Nope. Yeah, he came in right after that. Yeah.
Man.
Came in right after.
And then the Calderon Bargnani era ruined everything for everyone forever.
Yeah, that was when I couldn't stand the Raptors at that point.
Me too. You couldn't even be like, it wasn't cool to be a Raptors fan. It wasn't.
Yeah.
You're like, coming to the court.
Bargnani was a bust. Number one pick. And it was like, Brandon Roy ended up being like the best player in that class.
Oh, yeah. Man. And remember when Sean Marion came for 10 days and said, fuck Canada? He's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. It was terrible. Oh, it was the worst time ever, man. But I'm glad you love ball like I do, man. It's pretty crazy, the Kobe thing.
Yeah, bro.
What do you think of since we're on NBA topic, you see everything that's going on in the news, you see everything that's happening. What do you think of the protests?
Honestly, to me, I don't know. It's like, it's hard for me. Like, the protests and all that, I get that. Mm. I get that. People are like, okay, it's going to stop everything, da da da, it's gonna make something happen. But one thing I've been thinking about too is just like, yeah, they're protesting, they're stopping it, da da da. And people think like, okay, because the league stopped, this is gonna make some action happen. But at the same time, when you look at it, like the league stopped because of COVID and all that too. And it was like nothing really, I don't feel like anything, like it wasn't like people were missing the NBA like so much to the point where it was like, oh my goodness, this is, because people are also saying that it's like ruining the economy, and that's what, like, with the billionaires who own the team, it's going to make them want to, you know, make some calls, get action, and da da da. But at the same point, it's like, if the players don't play too, I feel at the same time, these guys, like the owners of the team, they save money because they don't have to pay the players. So the players now also put in a position too where it's like, you know, do they want to sacrifice their salary for this or not? And I feel like a lot of players, because not everybody has a max contract. Like, some players do need the money and all that. So it's like, I don't know. It's a really weird situation. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like,
I never thought of it like that either. I never thought of it like as in a salary base either. I just never thought that deep into it.
Yeah. And it's like, even with like the police brutality, all of that, it's like, yeah, NBA players may stop and but I don't know how much that's really going to change things. Like, I don't know. I think like there needs to be some real groundwork put in, like, because like we've had so many symbolic things, like, you know, Kaepernick kneeling, all that symbolic. But we need like real action, like groundwork. And maybe this might get, you know, a couple calls to the governor's office to go through faster and some change. But I don't know, just from like watching history, because I always study history, and it looks like with things like this, it hasn't really changed much. So I really don't know. I don't know the answers, what it's going to take to make change, but like, I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know either, man. Like, I watch it and I like, I'm saluting it, obviously, because I think it's incredible that they can all.
Yeah, definitely.
And, like, I'm thinking it too, but it's like, man, I don't know. It's one of those weird. It's like, is there really any NBA fans who disagree with that stance?
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, so it's
if
like
you like the NBA.
You're trying to get the people who don't really listen. You know what I mean? Who aren't listening to that? But it's like most NBA fans are aware. You know what I mean?
If you're an NBA fan and you're racist, get the fuck out of here, man. It's the
that
most.
Doesn't
diverse
even really make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's the most diverse fucking league. It's the most proactive league. I was really proud of them, honestly, for how they handled everything, like in the bubble. Yeah. And they're, to me, like, I didn't even watch any of the hockey. I didn't watch I'm all ball right now. I'm all ball. I don't give a fuck about anything else. And like, they handled it well. And like, who knows what will happen? I hope it causes change, but they need to start passing laws and fucking train the police. Like, they need to fucking do something to fucking, I don't know.
Police definitely need to be trained completely different. They need to do like mental health checks on police officers, everything, man. Like, because I feel like one thing too with like a lot of police officers, like a lot of them just have like PTSD from being in the field too. And because of that, it like, that's another thing that makes them trigger happy. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you're just thinking of like certain experiences, and all that. And you're just like thinking you're in danger. And it's like, they got to be taught, or if, you know, if they do have issues like that, they got to be able to have resources that can help them through that, so they can go to work and do their job properly. You know?
Exactly, man. And they're supposed to, like, the cops are supposed to be the calm of the situation. They're supposed to be the people that take control and they police, you know what I mean? They're not supposed to be the guys that fire off when they get scared. On someone who else is very scared.
You know what I mean? Like, as civilians, we're even, like, more scared of the police. Specifically
black people, right? It's a terrible, it's terrifying. I couldn't imagine. I never dealt with it, obviously, but.
Literally, anytime a police officer, like, drives by or pulls up behind me, so it's like, I get anxiety.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just like, because it's just like, I've had past experiences. It's like, I get pulled over for, like, doing absolutely nothing. Yeah. Like, start questioning me, all this stuff. And it's like, yo, I'm not even doing nothing. Like,
yeah, like, fuck off.
Like, what are you guys bothering me for?
You know? Exactly. It's such a, I don't like, I get so agitated, and it just pisses me off thinking about it. Because it's.
Yeah. Like, and that's
the cop is supposed to be the calm in the situation, supposed to make someone feel safe, but it's clearly just a racist agenda. Like, it feels like a racist agenda. Like, I don't even want to get into this. I'm going to go on a loophole.
It's so deep. The conversation gets real deep. Like, because if you get me going on this, I could talk for hours. Like,
yeah, me too. I just think it's bullshit, man. And it's bullshit. It's as simple as that. It's not. There's nothing. It breaks my fucking heart, and it's not fair. And people who argue otherwise, like, it's hard to keep it together and reason with these people who argue otherwise. And
I don't even argue with those people, because I'm like, some people are just so far gone, you can't get to them.
Exactly. And but like, yeah. And are they gonna change from me trying to teach? You know what I mean? Like, teach anybody? Like, they're gonna just stay in their ways anyways on this topic, right? Like, it's hard because like, I just want to see. I want to see fucking change, man. And I, man. And I speak up as much as I can on Instagram and everywhere I go.
I see tweeting and all that. I always see that.
But the thing is, it needs to translate to real life. So I don't get pissed when someone doesn't tweet. because it's like, if you're doing real life
behind closed doors, really. Yeah.
So like for a bit, like, you know, like I went to the protests and shit and I was like, I don't want to take pictures necessarily and then Instagram them. But I did anyways afterwards, cause it was a beautiful moment. But yeah. I swear, I was just more mad at like, oh, there's clout chasers here for some reason.
Like, oh, definitely. It's like, definitely.
It's bullshit. I hate fucking clout chasers, man. I fucking hate it for everything. Yeah, I hate anything.
Clout chasers in any field. Yeah. Oh. It's like, if you're going to do something, do it for the right reasons.
Exactly, you know, man. I mean? Don't do it for yourself. Everything is like, I'm going on my own shit. I'm supposed to be asking you questions here, but like, I just feel like, bro, like everyone does something for like some self, like gratification. Like, oh, look at me. I'm such a good person. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
Fuck that, man.
And that's the funny thing too, because I dropped like that song, Good Versus Evil.
And that was dope.
And thank you. And I dropped that, you know what I mean? Just to like, because I felt like even like I, because people were asking me too, they're like, yo, why didn't you drop that song earlier? You should have dropped it when the protest happened. I was like, yo, I don't drop stuff because of its heat of the moment thing. Like, I even made that song after the protests happened. Like, yeah. That was just, I was in the studio one day because I don't ever force my music. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to just do it because everybody else is doing this, doing that. It was just the beat happened to come on that day and that was just what came to me. And then, so when I put the song out, I remember even, as somebody say that like, oh, you're just doing this to exploit like Black Death, da da da. If you really believe in this, you're gonna donate all the funds to Black Lives Matter, da da da. And I was like, I was laughing at it though, because I was like, yo, you're coming at me because you saw me put this song out. You don't even know me in real life. You don't know what I do behind the scenes. No. You don't know what money I've donated, who I actually talked to, because like I'm the type of person, when I do stuff, I don't document it for the world to see. Like, especially when I'm doing like real good stuff for people behind the scenes. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I do for people and stuff that I don't post about. You know what I mean? And it's funny. I realized, like you said, the clout chasing thing and this whole cancel culture. It's like people just want to feel better than other people. So they got to show, oh, I did this. I'm better than you. Or put someone else down. I did this. I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just not with that, you know?
Exactly. But how, like, you make that song, it's a positive message. It's how you feel. And then someone has to somehow take something out of it and flip it to their narrative. Yeah. It's like, what are you fucking talking about? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Literally. And I was just laughing. I was just like, you know, I let people assume whatever they want about me, because at the end of the day, I know who I am in real life. People who, like, who've met me, talked to me, know me, like, have met me for real, know the type of guy I am, what I'm about, all that. So it's like, if you want to talk on the internet all day, bet. You could talk all day, but I know what I'm doing in real life. I know what I'm really doing. Good, like, man. I'm especially good. When I'm with other Black people, we're having certain conversations, all that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's just it's a lot.
Yeah, man, it's a lot. It's 100% a lot. Like, I just, what's frustrating, bro, is like, well, I'll see some person online and they'll be like, wow, I had no idea this happens. And it's like, it's also frustrating, you know what I mean? Like it's like, man, this whole topic just gets me so fucking angry.
Yeah,
it gets me so fucking angry.
With that too, so I do realize that like some people really just like live in bubbles, and you know what I mean?
They do.
It's like, it's just like how sometimes I'll be living my life, there's stuff happening to other groups of people, then I'm finding out and I'm like, damn, like I didn't even know that. You know what I mean?
True. You're like, right. You're right.
Yeah. Like some people really don't know any Black people at all in their life. They don't know anything about Black. They've never had friends like that around Black people. So they don't really see or understand like the things that Black people go through on the regular. So with those people too, because I see some people going so hard on these people and I'm like, yo, you can't just be mad at people for not being aware of stuff. If that, like, that's not the way they grew up or they were raised or anything like that, you know, you got to take your time with it, you know, just educate them, just let them know, hey, you didn't know about this, but yeah, this is a real thing that's happening. Yeah. You know, if you feel that there's something you could do to help, you know, say something, da da da. Because, like, I even feel like sometimes it's better for people to be quiet than not say anything. Because I was seeing a lot of people saying stuff, and they were saying a lot of the wrong things. And I get their heart is in the right place. But it's like, that's not how you get to people. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You don't, like, I see what you're saying. Like, I've had those uncomfortable conversations with people around me, too. It's like, you don't get what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
And but I've been like respectful about it. And, like I don't try to go online and fucking shit on people either, but it is just a frustrating situation. And I'm not even someone who experiences it, right? And I couldn't imagine someone who does go through it. And that's what's frustrating. I just have like so much love for everyone, and it's just, it's bullshit. But anyways, let's get on. What's the hardest hurdle you had in the music industry?
Hardest hurdle. Man. I'd say probably, I can't say there's one, but I say a multitude of things. There's probably being from like a small city where like there's no big rappers who have made it from, because to a lot of people it makes them undermine you right away. They like, they hear where you're from, they're like, okay, like what's that?
Yeah.
Like there's, I ain't heard of no rappers from there, like why should I give you a shot? Da da da. Which is, but and that, as much as it's a hurdle, it's also a blessing too, because it gives you the chance to like really be someone to make an impact in this place, because nobody's really impacted it like that before. And then also I'd say just like with the music industry, it's just a lot of like bullshitters and like scammers and people who sell you dreams, you know what I mean? That's another thing. Like I always, like when I'm talking to new artists and stuff too, and just giving them advice, I tell them like, because a lot of people will sell you dreams, especially when they see you're new in the game, you're excited, da 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 da, and they'll sell you stuff. Like I remember even when I was in Atlanta, and I was living there for a bit, and we were trying to get shows, da da da. People were like trying to tell me like, okay, yeah, I can get you a show, but you got to pay me $1,000, and then you can be on this lineup opening for so and so, da da da. And it was like, bruh, I'm not paying you to open up for somebody. Like I get paid to open up for shows. You know what I mean?
It's not how it works. Yeah.
And the thing is though, there's artists who aren't aware of that, who think that's actually a great opportunity. You know what I mean? And it's like, nah, the promoter's just hustling you, really.
Bro, I've been
you
finished. Know what I mean? I've been
so finished. It's like, I tell people like, study the game. Like you're going to take your L's. It's impossible to not take your L's. Everybody takes them. Unless the only way that you're not going to take L's is if you get blessed with a great team off the bat of people who've been doing this and know what they're doing. And even in that, though, y'all are going to catch some little L's here and there. They're not going to be as bad. But, you know, there's definitely always going to be bumps. There's going to be times you trip, fall on your face. But you just got to get up and just keep going.
That's how we learn, man. That's how we fucking progress in general in this game. You have to take a lot of L's, man. Not a lot of huge ones, but like a decent amount where it's like, oh, fuck, I'll never do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like you got to believe in yourself, especially because a lot of people, like for most artists, unless you're one of those artists who's just naturally gifted and off the rip, just like gets people's attention like that, a lot of the times you're going to have to go through nobody caring about what you're doing, not believing in you. And that's another hurdle itself, because mentally that breaks a lot of people down. So I always tell people, yo, you got to be your number one fan. Even if other people aren't feeling it, yo, screw it. You just keep going. I remember when I started out, like when I was Oz Jackson, even people used to always tell me like, man, like, you're not a bad rapper, but I can't stand your voice. Oh, your voice is annoying, da, da, da. Yeah. And I was just like, I remember at one point even, I was like thinking of getting like vocal surgery. I was like, yeah, I need to like change my voice. Yeah, because that was just like, I was just hearing it so much and I became insecure. But then after a while too, I realized like, there was a unique aspect of my voice that 100%. Other people liked. You know what I mean? Which, so even though some people hated it, there was other people who were like, nah, man, like I love your voice. So it's just like, you got to always just have that confidence in yourself that even if, you know, some people may not like it, there's somebody out there who's going to like it. You just may have not found them yet, you know?
100%, bro. And when you hop on a track, I know it's you right away. So a lot of other rappers where it's like, oh, who the fuck is this? I don't know who this is. But that's like, you know what I mean? Like, you have a distinctive voice and it's not in a negative way. It's a positive. It's as soon as you hear it, it's, oh, dope. This is Meow's way.
Yeah, I appreciate that, bro. I appreciate that.
No problem at all, man. So it's just pretty much just being from a small city. And back to the small city thing. Look at Buffalo. Griselda's coming out of there right now. There's a lot of there's like, even like think of the Clevelands, think of those places. They had no one before too. And now they're still the underdog city, but they have their guys. They have Kid Cudi. Or is Cleveland? Who's Cleveland?
I don't know many artists from Cleveland. I know Kid Cudi's from Cleveland.
Yeah, so he's huge, right? And then you got Machine Gun Kelly out of there, and like that's an underground.
Yeah, Ohio actually like produces like some pretty decent artists. Like they produce like You know, even Bow Wow's from Ohio. Like, people don't even realize that.
Other than that, like, other than, yeah, really?
Yeah.
You mean Bow Wow's from Moss? London.
Yeah. You Shad Moss.
Like, other than M from Detroit, you have T Grizzly, you have Dej Loaf, you got...
Yeah, Big Sean, you know?
Big Sean, yeah, like, I don't consider... I don't even know, I don't know why, I just don't think of Detroit when I think of Eminem. Like, I just kind of just, like, it's like Big Sean, Danny Brown. Danny Brown's in there, too.
Eminem's just like, he's global. Like, he's so global that it's like, he transcended Detroit. You know what I mean? Like,
he's so good, but like, he'll put out such bad music and he'll still sell like 5 million records in the first day.
The fan base is there. And that's the thing, you know? Once that fan base is there for you and they love you, like, 100%. It's lit.
It is, man. It's hopefully going to get there, man. Like, fucking, man. I'm cool. You know what I'm cool with, too? Like, I know this sounds like, not shooting for the stars or anything, but I almost want, even if I had a fucking fan base where it was like a Doom fan base, like MF Doom, where they just always stick around, like for, and I'm still making money off the shit and I'm still supporting myself and living, I'm happy with that. Obviously, I want like the fucking, the transcending fucking like top of the mountain. But like, you know, I'll settle for like a million.
Yeah, no, bro, I tell people that all the time because like, and that's the thing. People always think, like, to be successful as a musician, you have to be, like, selling out arenas, stadiums. You have to be the Forbes list charter. You got to be top of the charts. But it's like, yo, even if you're a musician who doesn't have the biggest fan base yet and you're making only, like, say, only $500,000 a year, you're still making more than 95% of the population at the end of the day.
100%.
You know what I mean? So it's like... People might be comparing you to superstars and they're like, oh, like, you ain't even lit. You're not popping like he is. But it's like, yo, I'm still making more money than you. So, like, who's really not lit?
Shut the fuck up. You know, Miazwe, like, I don't, like, I hate to, like, flex or anything, right? But I made it 90,000 on the Forbes list. Like, yeah. I'm coming up there, man. Like, my last single, did whatever.
Yeah, making 90 racks off a single would be nice. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Like, most artists never even make $1,000 in their lifetime in their career. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
100%, man.
I feel like that's the thing. People just got to be aware, like, yo, there's nothing wrong with not being the biggest, you know?
100%. But if you're not first, you're last. And I always say that as well. And
yeah, oh, trust me, I'm heading for the top. I want arenas and everything.
Sometimes, man, I go through like little ego trips. Like, I'll like be humbling myself all day and then I'll just lose it. I'll be like, I'll just go off and I was like, my girlfriend's looking at me like I'm a psychopath. Like, what is wrong?
Gotta have that confidence though, man. That's as a rapper, especially, like, you need that. You need that.
I think every rapper should have that. And I don't get why people get mad at that. Like, when I see a tweet of yours where like it's like, oh man, I'm the shit, da 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 da. It's like, man, that's fucking sick. Like, people should flex. They should. Self confidence is a good thing.
Oh, bro, self confidence is what helps you, you know, really take risks, do stuff that other people aren't willing to do, you know. So exactly, you need, man. That.
Shout out to Kanye, man, for that. Because growing up, I remember watching Kanye in 50, and they gave me, like, the courage to go and be like, yeah, like, I'm the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was bad. Sometimes a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people, like, thought it was like, okay, this guy's calling himself a god. This is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. So I'm on to the next segment here. I don't know how long we've been talking here, but shit, we keep going.
I'm having a good time, man.
Man, it's been a long time since I talked to you, actually. Yeah, I haven't been, like, out.
Yeah, last time we saw each other was at Post War Show. That was like late last year, I think.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, cause you performed there.
Oh yeah.
I performed there. We both came out like a special guest with him. Yeah.
Man, I think that night I don't smoke often as much as I used to. I smoked out and I was panicking inside. I was like, oh man, I'm going up.
Oh man, having that anxiety attack.
Oh. And like everyone's trying to dap you up, and everyone's like, yo, man. To kill it, you going up soon? I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't hope not. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
You ever had a moment like that where you're like, you ever had a moment where you just got a little too tipsy before you got on? And you've been like,
man, I honestly don't drink or do anything before performing, actually.
I started doing that last year and it's been the best thing that ever happened to me. I kill it.
For some people it definitely helps with, like, you know, the confidence and all that. But personally, I just like, because with the way when I perform, I like to really watch the crowd too while I'm performing. So I like to, because I feel like sometimes when you turn up and stuff. Like, I've seen people just too lit on stage. And it's like, you're going so hard, and the crowd isn't reciprocating that energy. You look kind of crazy. You know what I mean?
I've had that, man. Man, I've had like two Red Bull Vodkas and I was, or like a bunch of drinks, and I was jumping, and the crowd was like not moving their feet. They're like,
yeah, because I feel like you gotta gauge the crowd too. You know what I mean? Like, and I like to like really scan the crowd, and then also after like rewind back the show in my head. Like sometimes you get lit, you don't really remember it that vividly. You know what I mean? Like, so, but yeah, I mean, everybody's different though. Like, I saw J. Cole finish like a Henny bottle on stage when he performed, and he killed it.
That comes with experience. I think once you get to that stage though, it's like, I can do whatever I want and go up.
Yeah.
I've gone through that stage already. I got through my, like, I cracked through the fucking seal of all that, and I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go sober. And I, like you said, analyze the whole thing and go back to the performance. And that's the best way to go.
Yeah.
This next segment, Miazwe, on the show is called the Quick Six.
Quick Six, okay.
Okay, hard liquor or beer / coolers?
I'm going to say beer / coolers because that's easier. It's like, it's more of like a vibe type thing. Like, I feel like hard liquor is for like, you trying to get lit.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be aggressive all the time.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean? So no. I'd say, yeah, beer's coolers. I'm cool on that.
Yeah, but what kind of beer or cooler would you say?
I like Coors. I like, yo, them White Claws have been deadly.
The man needs White Claws.
Everybody's been going crazy with the White Claws this summer.
Bro, like, you split a claw together, man? Like,
yeah, Budweiser's too aren't bad.
Budweiser's are great.
Twisted Teas as well. Yeah.
I like White Claws too, man. I'll admit it. And what's a beer I think you need to try? Fuck, what is it called? It's a blueberry beer. It's from Manitoba. It's called
Blueberry.
Trans-Canada Blueberry. Fuck, it's crazy. I'll just show you.
Never tried that.
You'll love it, man. If you love that, like that type of shit, it's great. And I'm the
same. Yeah, I'm gonna have to put that in my arsenal. I might have to try that before the end of summer.
It's great, man. First rap record you ever bought.
First rap record I ever bought. Yeah. Was actually Bow Wow CD.
Damn.
Beware of Dog. Yeah. That,
no way.
Yeah, me and my brothers used to run that. That and the Like Mike soundtrack. Those are the first two rap CDs I had.
Like Mike is one of the best movies.
My parents wouldn't let us listen to no other rappers because they swore too much. But Bow Wow was clean for them.
Yeah, man. I used to listen to Fresh Prince growing up too, man. Like, all that shit. Yeah. I had the clean. Did you ever get the clean version of CDs? Like, did you have to get those too?
Nah, because Bow Wow's music was like all just clean then in itself. So yeah.
Like, I had to get Rich or Die Trying clean version.
Oh, see, yeah, my parents wouldn't even let me go near that.
Yeah.
They're not even letting me go near 50. So I had to listen to that when I'm like at my older cousin's house and stuff.
Yeah, know? The bad cousin you had. Yeah. Like, that's how I found out about DMX and my cousin. I'd go to my cousin's, he had like weed around, but hey, man, you see this shit before? I'm like, no, I haven't seen this before. Like, this is DMX.
Yeah.
You're stuck on an island. Who are the two people you're taking with you or keeping with you?
I'm stuck on an island. Who are the two people I'm taking with me?
Hey, man, hope no one gets salty over this one.
I'm saying I'm probably taking Mooks because that's my best friend since 10 years old. And we.
Mooks are the. Shout out to Mooks, man. Mooks is great.
Yeah, that's my brother till death. So I'm definitely bringing him with me.
Yeah.
And then I have to say after that, maybe probably.
Rihanna?
The second person's hard. I'd probably have to say either my brother, my manager, Neil, or my girl. One of the two. One of the three.
Yeah, good answer. I totally forgot you had a girl, and I was like, Rihanna? I'm like, Brianna? You're like, no. You're like, you just like, you ignored the shit out of me. Like, I'm my girl.
Yeah. But yeah, it'd be between Mooks and them three.
Okay, yeah, just take them all. That's a pretty small girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I definitely. I'm not even going to say my list because I don't know. I'm going to get people hurt.
Yeah, it might hurt some feelings.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. Favorite place you've ever traveled?
Favorite place I've ever traveled. Ooh. Yeah. I'd say either The Netherlands or Atlanta? Netherlands. Actually, or New York. I love New York.
I'm jealous. I wanted to go to New York so bad.
Bruh, you got to go to New York. Like, yo, when I went there, like, I was only there for like 3 days, but it was like life changing, you know.
Man, I've been to BC and that's fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. Jamaica is probably my favorite.
I've been to DC too. BC is great too. I love, yo, the views out there.
The mountains, the mountains are crazy. Go for a hike when you go out there. Have you gone for a hike yet?
I haven't gone for a hike out there. I've been to Banff though, and I've been like around there and stuff. So
that's dope.
Yeah.
Netherlands is full of mountains too, right?
I didn't really see no mountains. I was like really just in the city. I was in Rotterdam, but I love it. Like I loved it there. Like the people, just like the way everything is, like the way the cities are, like, you know, the city was like developed and all that. It was great. It was a great vibe. I loved it.
Man, me, it's like Jamaica, Whistler. And I can't think of anywhere
else. I've never been to Jamaica, but that would be fire.
Man, it's a vibe out there. The whole thing is just incredible. Like, I've never been somewhere so happy and fun.
Word, eh?
I've never had so much fun. Like, yeah, I got so many stories about that fucking place. But, yeah, so many stories.
Like, definitely got to hit Jamaica one day. That's definitely on my list.
Go to Whistler, too, when you go back to Vancouver and just experience that whole shit, man. Like, go – there's whitewater rafting.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I've heard that, Whistler, like snowboarding and skiing and stuff is lit out there too.
Fuck that, man. I'm staying off the snowboard and skis. I'm fucking terrified of that shit. I don't know why. I'm a pussy, man. I really am.
I've gone skiing before. I've done like cross country skiing, but I've never done downhill. I want to do like downhill.
Fuck that. I'm going downhill if I do that. I'm going downhill. I'm fucking rolling downhill.
And all the way down.
All the way down with two broken legs. Almost said three. No, man, I'm fucking shit. Like, I'll be honest, like, I'm shit scared. So even when I went hiking, I was like shitting myself the whole way up. And when I finally got up, I was like, oh, damn, like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I love hiking. I'm not gonna lie, I love camping and stuff. Like, I'm a nature boy. I love that stuff. Yeah, I love a lot of people. When I tell them that, they're like, you love camping? Like, what? I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's away from everything, it's away from all the bullshit. You like,
bro. You have to just, like, clear your mind, be away from the city.
And there's no diet, man. There's no diet. You just eat like shit and you drink.
Yeah, it's barbecuing all weekend, you know. Yeah.
You're on the stage, just hammered, doing whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. You know, you
wake up at like 6.
Crack a can, you know. Start the day out right.
Hey, on a Monday, they judge me. But today, I'm good.
This is a judgment-free zone.
Oh man, I love camping too, man. I'm with you. Your dream song, well, who'd you have on it, producer-wise and feature-wise? If you had a dream song,
Are you saying like that I have to make, or just like if I was just to put it together with anybody?
With anybody, no budget, nothing. Just whoever you want, producer and feature.
Man, I feel like. Because all my favorite rappers have, like, rapped together and, like, done songs together. So, like, I don't even know, like, what. I feel like my dream collabs at this point are, like, songs, like, me working with my favorite artists. So, like, I love to be on a song with, like, definitely Drake. Definitely want to do a song with Ye.
Oh, of course.
Definitely want to do a song with Hove.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar.
You'd sound crazy with a Kendrick or Wayne feature.
Yeah, I definitely. Yo, it's funny too, cause like those two are like the rappers I've been getting compared to the most, especially like with my new music that I've just been working on. Like a lot of people say, like I've been like reminding them of Wayne recently. So I'm just like, okay, like
that's a dope. Fucking compliment, man.
Yeah, cause I love Wayne, so it's like I'm super pumped about this next wave of music. It's like. It's all different from everything I put out before. It's just like, I feel like I've really just matured music-wise, so.
Send me the album, bro, so I can leak it.
Yeah. Hey, I'll definitely send you some unreleased stuff. I'll definitely send you some unreleased stuff once we're done talking.
That's dope, man. I'm really looking forward to it. Can you give us, like, an idea or date, a time frame when we're going to get the album?
I'm gonna spill some info that hasn't been put out to the public at all yet.
Exclusive and exclusive.
Yeah, some exclusive stuff. But me and Mooks, actually, we got a collab project. Works right now. So we just dropped We 2 days ago. That was the first single off the project, actually. So that's in the works right now. We're done recording everything. It's just getting mixed and mastered, finalizing the post-production and all that. But I'm super pumped for that, too.
I'm pumped because
I've never really collabed with people a lot in my career. So this is, like, the most I've collabed with anybody ever, like, and...
And it's your best friend. And
yeah, you know what I mean?
And so, also, it is less work, too. It's like you're not like you shy away from work.
Yeah, anything, but you know what it I mean? Definitely like, is less work. It's like, okay, I don't got to write both verses. Yeah. I can just write the hook on this one verse. Okay, or sometimes like some of the songs is like him on the hook in the verse, and then I just do one verse.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a lot different than just like doing everything by myself and all that as well.
Nice, man. Yeah. That's dope, man. I can't wait for that. I'm glad you gave me this exclusive, bro. I'm glad you did.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's coming this fall. That's this fall. So tune in, people. Tune in.
Man, and I like to sing with you guys too a lot.
Thank you, bro.
Make sure I share that shit. I always love when you guys collab. Like, it was kind of like I didn't really know you guys were that good of friends because I used to see Mooks at the bar a lot. I always thought he was great. And I was like, oh, wait a second. They're like good friends. And then it turns out he started rapping. And I didn't even know he rapped really that much.
Yeah, Mooks is one of the best rappers I've ever met. Like, he's an absolute beast. Like, he helps me with my writing to get better. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, even from since I've started, because, like, he never really dropped music this whole time, but he's always been there, like, with me in the studio, da-da-da, all that, you know? So, he's, like,
stealing your bars, stealing your lyrics. Right over your shoulder. Okay, good idea.
Yeah, but now he's a beast with the pen. Honestly, like he honestly, when I hear him rap, it makes me want to rap better. You know what I mean? So
that's a great thing, and that's the same with my bro Ben, True Blue there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know Ben. Yo, Ben's nice with it too. Yeah. Ben's nice too. Yeah.
There's an ongoing joke in the studio that he writes all my lyrics. So like, like I'll be in the booth and be like, yo, I gotta call Ben like real quick. I just need to get my lyrics. I don't have the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like sharp too, man. And like, it's one of those things, like one of those like family competitions that kind of furthers you more, and you kind of get like, okay,
yeah, because steel sharpens steel, you know.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's a great way to put it. Yeah. Okay, man. I was gonna say Wayne or Kanye, but I think I already know what you're gonna say.
Man, I love both, honestly. I can't even choose. I'm not even going to lie.
You're not going to choose?
Nah, I love both so much. I literally can't choose.
Okay, because if you do choose, I was going to clickbait you and put Wayne sucks and Kanye is great. And I'm going to put on quotations.
In the future, I'm going to meet them and then Wayne's going to be like, nah, bro, you call me trash.
Wayne, Weezy's trash. I like Kanye more. That's the episode name.
No, man, I love both of them so much. They both influenced me so much. So
me too, man. I just, do you know they're putting No Ceilings on Apple tonight, eh?
Yo, I literally just saw, like, before we came on, I just saw a tweet about that, actually.
Oh my god.
Oh. Yeah, unbelievable mixtape. Even like actually, like this year I've been listening to a lot of old Wayne just to get inspired too.
You know though, I still think he's really sharp right now. Like I heard Funeral and I was like, damn, this guy.
Oh yeah, no, he's still there. He's still definitely.
And he's still Wayne and Kanye too. Kanye is still sharp. I like Jesus King. I don't know how you feel about.
Oh, I love that album. Like I feel like a lot of people just hate because they just want him to just always be rapping and stuff. But the thing with Kanye is like, if you look at his career, when has he ever done the same thing twice? Like he did it.
He's always been this way.
Yeah.
There's never been a time he's always had off the wall ideas and everyone's just kind of catching on now and then they're clickbaiting him and trying to fucking.
Yeah, literally.
He says some crazy shit, like I'll admit, but I always love his music and I'll.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. But, okay, well, I guess we're going to wrap things up. I just want you to do the classic plug everything you got going on right now. Do your shout outs. Tell me what's going on, Yazwe. What's happening?
Big shout out right now to Pascal, to my boy Lou Beats, to my boy Solo, Hotels. Who else am I missing right now? All my producers, all my whole producer team, Dane, Silent, all the guys that I've been working with on this new project, Cinco, HG, And yeah, everybody that I've been working with heavy this year, because I really feel like they've helped take my sound to a whole nother level recently. And I'm thankful that I get to work with such talented people. Shout out to my man Discord. Shout out to all the artists in the city right now coming up. Everybody that's out here grinding, working hard, man. Shout out, you know, YSN Fab. Shout out Lost Souls, that whole crew. Lost Souls has a lot of new artists that are coming out too. And I've been listening to a lot of this stuff that they've been working on. And I think like they really got something special going on there too. So like, you know, big shout out to them. Shout out to everybody else too who's been grinding, man. It's a lot of artists coming out of the city right now. It seems like there's a new artist damn near every day. You 100%.
Know what I mean? Like, 100%.
It's crazy. But yeah, y'all can follow me Instagram @MeAsWay, Twitter @MeAsWay. This is my name everywhere. Same at everywhere, any socials you can find me, streaming on Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, all that. Lots of new music coming this fall. Shout out to Trish too. Next R&B star coming out the city. She's about to go crazy as well.
Very talented, man.
Shout out to Travis T too, who's been recording me nonstop lately, been helping us get this project together. You know, shout out Mooks too, even though, you know, I already talked about him earlier, but shout out to him as well.
Once again, man.
I'm just pumped for everything that's to come the rest of the year. I'm about to drop more videos than I've ever dropped in my career too. So I'm super excited about that. And yeah, y'all just stay tuned in. Winnipeg is going up, man. Shout out to you, Dre.
Hey, thank you very much.
You're creating a platform for creatives to, you know, come talk about themselves and just like, you know, introduce themselves to people that may not be familiar with them, which is super dope. You know, so shout out to you too, man.
Appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. I just thought to myself one day, like, as an artist, I would like to have the whole interview highlight everything about me.
Yeah.
I want to go out here and just like highlight the people I fuck with in the city and give them a platform, because it's, at the end of the day, you know, we're a city, we got to stick together. Even though, you know, sometimes we don't agree with each other, we all got to respect each other. We all got to put each other in, you know, elevate each other.
Yeah. Shout out to Post-War too.
Yeah. Posty, man.
We got the same management, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, shout out Posty.
Posty's awesome, man.
Killing it this year too. Having like the biggest year of his career, which is super dope to see. Shout out Link Up Connect too, man. That's my management team. They've been working OT, going crazy as well. So yeah, man, I'm happy to be here, and thanks for having me, man.
No problem, bro. You're gonna be great at award speeches, by the way. That was fantastic.
thank you, bro.
No problem, bro. Okay, thanks for coming on once again. I appreciate you. I'm gonna call you right after this. So peace, bro. All
right, bro. I'll catch you in a bit. See you.